Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so excited to be here on the line reflecting on the previous week of generational wealth. So before we get started, let's go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
Friday, thank you so much, Ms. Tiana, and I do hope that everybody is situated and, you know, as we just enjoy this Monday. I hope you had a great Monday. But let's get started with prayer first. I'm asking that Mr. DJ go ahead and lead us in prayer, please.
Everybody bow your heads, open up your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with grace and mercy. We want to say on bowing knee and humbly, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our family and friends, as well as our spiritual family. Open us up, open our ears, and help us to fellowship and get into the word, that this may be productive to bring us closer to your name as one. We ask these things in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Go ahead and mute everybody. Just me and DJ will be on the phone tonight. So, y'all, look, this past week has been a tremendous week. We have some email questions that we're going to answer tonight, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ.
Okay.
I don't know about you. What is it, one of the things that that you took away? I know we talked briefly, but that you took away from Wednesday with the guest speaker that we had, the young lady, I mean, if y'all didn't get a chance to hear the call, please go back and, you know, listen to it. But I think that call in itself could have been a learning center call.
True. Very true. Very, very true. What I took away from that, and not only just that, but the whole segment was wealth is essentially spiritual wealth. It's essentially something that you can't really put a price tag on. Those are the things that don't really, how can I say, those are direct gifts from God that you can't really put a price tag on. But without them, oh boy, without them, without those gifts, man, I mean,
okay,
you feeling worse, you know.
All right. Now, you're saying spiritual world, but we live in a natural world.
Okay.
We got natural bills.
That's right.
Learned a lot of natural. I mean, we learned the spiritual wealth, and we get that. You know, people say yada, yada, yada. Okay, yeah, whoop-de-doo. But how are we to survive in today's time? What is it that we learned, even as it applies to using the spiritual that God gave us to apply to the natural? Because, see, it's one thing, and this is an ongoing thing, y'all, okay, with the Learning Center, okay? What is it that we have learned as far as, you know, did somebody get sparked up? I'm talking about motivated to want to go ahead and do what God gave you to do. You know, did God create you to be poor?
Mm.
Did he do that? The Bible said that the poor will always be with us. The poor. Man, that can go so many different ways. Because he also said the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So, man, hold on. But did he want us to be naturally poor? That's our learning center. Can somebody help me out on that? Did God create us to be naturally poor? I don't need you to give me no biblically correct answer. I need you to go ahead and shoot from the hip. Did God create us to be naturally poor? Why is it that every Christian thinks that we're supposed to not have?
Mm.
When you serve God, you're not supposed to have that. But we
don't think he, I don't think, Mr. Carr, that he created us to be naturally poor. I mean, he didn't have I guess poor in terms of the value system of what we call poor. You know, it depends on it through which glasses you're looking at. You know, because Christ didn't come here and was born in a hospital and rode on chariot with limousines, and you know, he didn't even have a physical address.
Right.
You know, he didn't have lavish items or what have you. You know, he didn't even have his own church. He walked around. I mean, I'm just saying, so it depends on what you really value, you know. And when you look at it, the gist of it is, what do you call poor? You know, because, like, For instance, somebody like yourself, you know, Mr. Cost may have down to his last $50,000, and he'll tell me he broke. You know, you know what I'm saying? I wish I had $50,000. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it depends on what you call, you know, poor. You know,
that's how. Generational wealth, okay? This is our learning center, okay? So Wednesday we talked some heavy, heavy stuff, and we had a guest speaker. I hope y'all had a chance to listen. And she's a young girl. She's 26 years old, I believe, Mr. DJ. She was 26.
Okay.
And just the stuff that we learn. I'm serious. She has her own business, phenomenal business, and she has people. Her mother works with her and things of that nature. She enjoyed doing the presentation. But just the takeaway component of that, if nothing more, when we talk about generational wealth, if nothing more, is just the fact that we took away that I can. You know, when we see a youngster doing that, and she's doing a phenomenal job, man, that should be something that we've learned right there that we can as well. Not to compare, but to motivate. Okay?
Right.
Mr. DJ, this is one of the email questions I had for you. Okay? It says, besides money, what can I leave behind for an inheritance?
I would always say wisdom/education. Teach. Reach and teach. That's the most valuable thing that you can do. My father taught me how to pray. He taught me a million other things, but he taught me how to pray. He also taught me academically. If you don't teach your kids, if you don't reach back and teach that generation, if all the knowledge that you have, all the intelligence, it's going to perish. What good is it of you to be that much closer to God and your children don't know him? You come to church, but leave them at home.
Okay.
That don't make no sense. You worship God, you pray, but, you know, y'all too young for this. Or better yet, the ones that say, I let them make up their mind when they get grown. Really? Really? So all of that's going to go away. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the one as we talk about, you know, we recap in a week. Let me pose this question to you, Mr. DJ, because Mr.
Okay.
DJ, my eyes and ears. Let me pose this to you, okay? We talk about generational wealth, okay?
All right.
Generational wealth. What is it, or how is it, or do you believe that we really, 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 and y'all be honest now, do you believe that we really can profess about God operating in our life, if we walking around not being a good steward over our natural wealth? I want everybody to ask, listen to me now. Let me pose this question again. I'm asking it to Mr. DJ, but please, if we can get somebody else to chime in, come on. I mean, this ain't a debate session, but, hey, we can agree to disagree. Because this is an interesting question as we talk about recapping this generational wealth, the things that we've learned. Is it possible for you to have it going on in God, yet irresponsible with your natural finances?
I say no, Mr. Carl.
You say no.
You're fooling yourself if you think you are. You're fooling yourself.
So it's impossible. You're saying it's impossible that we cannot have it going on in God, yet financially be jacked up.
Yeah, I say no, because I like I said, you're fooling yourself if you think that you can.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Start five me right quick. That's a good question. I'm just gonna pose the question. I'm not gonna dive in it. What you think, Miss Candy?
Hello?
Yeah.
I say no too.
You say no?
Yeah.
Okay, why you say no?
Because most of the money and riches we receive come from the blessing of God. So how you going to be happy going on in God and your finances messed up?
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. All right, I appreciate that. All right, now, what y'all think now? Can we be in God straight? Can we be straight in God and be messed up naturally, financially? Anybody else want to chime in? Come on, now, I know y'all thinking about this. I thought about it, too. That's one that make you scratch your head. Now tell me what's on your mind. What you got?
Cleanliness is next to godliness, and so is study and all the things that are in order. It's you're knocking the balance off when you say the church's money is this, and you're supposed to, like you said, have it going on in God, but you got a bunch of bad credit where you didn't pay, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. That just don't look right. That doesn't seem right.
What you think about that, Miss Candy? Miss Candy, what you got? Unmute Miss Candy, please.
I would say that it's not possible for you to have your natural life in shambles and then be serving God, because that's one of the places where we're supposed to have our life in order, and it's pleasing to God. Think about when people see us, it's a natural example. So how are you going to witness to someone who only understands what they see, and they see your life in shambles? So it's, one is a reflection of the other.
I got you. So money and everything going to need to be straight. Okay, gotcha. Good deal. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we're going to move on. So that's a good question, and that's something to think about. That's something to think about, and that's something that we can really admire with the call on Wednesday with the Learning Center, because this young lady have her stuff together. Now, this is the thing that's so good about this Learning Center. Y'all, let's check this out. Check this out. You remember in the Bible, if y'all recall, remember the Bible said, you know how Jesus told a parable, Mr. DJ? He told a parable about the father and the two sons. I know everybody remember this one. And the father told one son to do something, and he said, yes, I will do it. And he told another son to do something, and he didn't, it was like, uh-uh. But when he came back, the son that said, yes, I will do it, he didn't. But the son that said, no, I'm not, he did. The reason why I say that with the Learning Center, listen, you may say, well, people focus on this or focus on that more, but check this out. When we talk about generational wealth, even in the natural, don't you know it's still valuable? It's still reasonable. It's still possible for God to meet whomever where they are, even through finance. Because it's a lot of people who say, yes, I will pay my tithe, but don't. But it's a lot of people that say, no, I won't, but will.
That's right.
Y'all know that?
That's right.
Fine. So this is some good stuff that we have to learn with the financial, the generational wealth system. It's not that we chase the dollar, because we learned that this week. We don't chase the dollar. When you get good at your craft and the gifts that God gave you, and you multiply those gifts, money gonna chase you. All you need to do is enjoy what you do. This is why money is gonna chase you. Because we talked about this last night, Mr. DJ. This is our learning center. Money can chase you simply because, see, what happens is the more you expand to whom much is given, much is required, God requires more of you. How will God require of you if he doesn't facilitate the need of the requirement? In other words, if God requires you to go across overseas to Hawaii, Australia, or whatever it may be, well, let's just look at it this way. Don't be super spiritual and say, I'm there, after you snap your fingers. It's going to take some finances for you to get over there. So you using your gift, what's going to happen? You enjoy using your gift. What's going to happen that we've learned? It'll start to chase you. In other words, you're going to be flying over there back and to and fro with ease because your gift has made room for you. Generational wealth. Now, I don't know if y'all know this. This is true, Mr. DJ. Generational wealth goes like this. Monkey see, monkey do. In other words, when people see that you have no qualms with money and you don't mind traveling, y'all know how it go. Especially in the African-American community, we didn't travel like we... See, we travel now. We ain't used to travel like that in the 1980s and 1990s. But what happened was somebody said money ain't a thing. And I want to enjoy myself. So what we start doing? The same thing.
That's right.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Your talent will make room for you. That generational wealth, it extends way beyond the dollar. But God is going to take care of the dollar amount, especially when he needs you to get to where you need to get to. And he knows that it costs. So what he's going to do is he's going to supply the finances. People start opening up to you, not because of you, but because of the talent you possess.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where that talent comes from? God. See how God has a funny way of bringing us generational wealth? And what happens? You start to inspire people that you didn't even know because they say, I saw you on a billboard and I saw you doing things when you was young and you did great things and shoot, that inspired me and made me want to be this, that, and the other. And you got your business going now. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
I get it. Mr. DJ, here's another question for your emailer that we had, okay, email caller, who said, is it important to start a savings account for my kids? And if so, at what age?
The minute they become your kid. That's when you start that. It's like almost like education, try living without it. If you don't have a savings account, and they don't, you know, they get older, they don't want to go to college or do something, even if they don't want to go to college. Oh, you're going to come, there's going to come a time that you're going to wish you had that savings account. And a savings account is not just going to the bank and open up a savings account. There are several ways you can create a savings account, business-wise and for yourself. So, yeah, at what age, as soon as they become your kid, I started mine before they even got here.
That's right. So as soon as they're here, you can start that savings account. Generational wealth.
That's
and
right.
Y'all, it's nothing like having something given to you, even in the natural, that you didn't even earn, but somebody thought high enough of you to have. They, you know how that impact people?
See it.
Think
see
about it.
See it.
Mm. Yeah, you know how that impact people? We talk about generational wealth. Learning center. Let's learn this. If you set aside for your children, DJ, I don't know, I got a calculator. You got a calculator in front of you? Well, let's do some math on this. If you set aside, let's say, $50 a month from the time they was born, okay, 50 times 10, I do that, I do the shorthand, 50 times 10, that's 10 months, that's $500, plus two more months, that's $600.
Okay.
Okay? 600 times 10 years, that's $6,000.
That's right.
And, y'all see where I'm going with this? By the time they're 20, if you're just in a savings that actually has, you know, you're going to get some interest on that, so you can be at 20 years, $12,000. Tell me who can do something to start off their life with $12,000.
And Mr. Carr, just to add a little note, I taught math 16 years, and I always used to open up with this. If you would get a IRA or savings account with compounded interest to be taken out of your regular checking with just a penny per week. Compound interest, for those of you, is 1 week you get 1 cent, the next week 2 cents, the next week 4 cents, the next week 8 cents. It doubles. It doubles whatever you take out. If you were to do that within 1 year, you would have over $1 million. But we don't think like that. We don't think like that. If you were to do that and never touch it, 18 years, your kid will actually be a millionaire. Always offer the package $1 million a week or a penny per week, but only for 1 year. The penny will always have way more than that $1 million. See, the thing is, a penny ain't nothing when it's small.
Uh-huh.
But see, after a couple of weeks, after that stuff starts adding up, and then that doubles, and that doubles. See, you got to understand that. See, that's powerful. And you mentioned before somebody doing something for you that you didn't technically earn. It was passed to you. Isn't that what Christ did for us?
All right, now.
Isn't that what Christ did for us? When he was up there on that cross, my God, isn't that what he did for us? He made it so that we didn't have to suffer the wrath.
Hold on, Mr. DJ. Look, my phone blowing up right quick. This is a question for you, Mr. Because somebody enjoying what you're saying. They say, ask DJ this. So I'm asking. That's what they say, I'm asking. Okay. They said, in reference to generational wealth in this week's study, tell me then, you know, what is it or how do I know that I'm in love with money, since the Bible says the roots of all types of evil is the love of money. How do I know that I love money?
You know you love money when you put your specific needs before God.
Uh-huh.
Your needs, your wants. God is supplying your needs if you trust him. But if you put what you want to do first and then go pay your tithes, then you pretty much love money. If you say, well, you know what, I mean, I love you, but I got to go pay this and go pay that and go pay this and that, or I got to go pay your rent. I'm not telling you to be put outdoors, but how did you get in that situation? You have a full-time job. You should be able to pay your tithes and your bills if you're living right. Maybe them rims you bought the other week that you're still paying on for the past 2 years or what have you, you shouldn't have did that. You know what I'm saying? We got funny ways of blaming God and the tithes. Let me say the tithes for our downfalls with money. But if you put everything else before what you owe God, not supposed to pay, owe God, because it's his anyway. If you put everything before that, then, you love money. You love money.
All right. That's what it is. Okay. So this is what I want to do, okay, as we're about to get ready to close out. I want one caller. I'm not going to pick on anybody, but I want somebody to answer this question for me, okay? So somebody be bold enough to start fighting me right real quickly, okay? This is what I want to know from you, okay? If you had to give a mini sermon, and what I mean by mini sermon, I'm talking about 1 minute sermon to somebody who don't know the difference between wealth naturally, wealth spiritually, what would you tell them? Okay, how would you break this topic down, generational wealth? They are to be leaving behind for others to come. How would you explain to them generational wealth? I'm talking about their life is on the line. You see them at the brink of, they just about to go haywire. I'm talking about they work till their knuckles fall off, and their philosophy is if a man don't work, a man don't eat. But will their philosophy get them into heaven? How can you explain to the person who's a billionaire the reality of generational wealth in its true, purest form? Can somebody answer that, please?
Me.
Explain that to me. Now, I just want somebody to, be bold enough to answer that, seriously, other than Mr. DJ. Okay? 1 minute, you got somebody whose life is on the line. In other words, if they get this wrong, God say they're going to hell. How can you help them? And not throw the Bible at them. I'm talking about in a natural way to see if that's not the wealth he's talking about. Come on, we got somebody? I know somebody got a sermon in them. Just a 1 minute sermon, is it?
It doesn't even have to be a sermon, just a talk. We calling it a sermon. What would you say?
What would you say to them?
Sounds like a test of faith. It sounds like a test of faith, and I would convince that person that God is the way, the truth, and the life. If you just try, I dare you to trust him. I always tell people, I dare you to trust him. He has never reneged on not one single promise. How can you not trust somebody that's undefeated? Take a chance. The fight is fixed. You know you're going to win. He's undefeated. He doesn't lose. If you don't believe me, try. I dare you to try him. And you will see for yourself, too. If you doubt it, if you don't believe it, just try. One thing you got to do is try.
And Mr. DJ, what I will follow up with, you done told him that, and I'm going to come right back there and pick it back. You done told him 30 seconds. I'm going to tell him 30 seconds. I'll simply tell him, look, and then had money and was miserable. When I didn't have it, I was on my knees more than when I had it. So I found the relationship, and I found out what wealth really was.
Yes, sir.
I had money. Yes. I was doing all kind of stupid stuff. I was sending the most.
Right.
But sending the most. And I had it and understand God.
That's right.
Mr. Carr, we have 2 people who actually want to share something.
Broke me down, what I did was I understood that it wasn't me that made the money in the first place. So he had, when you go and clean house, you get rid of everything. So God, Yeah, in other words, that bank account hit zero, and he said, let's try this again.
Wake up call. Okay.
Yeah. Tell me, who was the first caller?
All right. Good evening, caller. Oh, yes, good evening. First of all, I would ask the person to tell them to ask God to forgive them for their sins and to come in their heart and say their soul. So, you know, God can say.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. That's the first and foremost.
Yeah.
And foremost, because y'all know, you know, I don't know if the callers there, though, but you know how we do it, boy. We be saying, God, forgive me, but we still got one foot up in that money jar.
Yep.
We ain't let it go. We ain't let it go. Now, God didn't say let my money go.
Yep.
No, it's
right.
He said forgive, let that stuff go. And God, you let me, look, whatever you want me to do with that money, I'm going to
right. You know my heart. You know my heart. But, you know, Macy's got a one-day sale. It ain't going to be no other time. You know, you know my heart, though. I need to go on and get this. I got to have this. I need this. That's how we do it.
These days say Mason. I think Mason's about to close, but we understand. All right, thank you. Who is this caller?
Yeah, the caller disconnected, Mr. Carr.
So that's what it is, y'all. I mean, so, hey, this is a recap. Generational wealth. Understand it. Okay? Don't chase money. Do not chase money. Let money chase you. And money will chase you when you're doing what you're doing for God. But don't do what you do for God so that money can chase you. Because do understand that God can see through us better than the x-ray. He surely can. Okay? The Bible says we came in the world with nothing. Surely we shall leave with what, Mr. DJ? How much money are we going to leave with?
Not 1 cent. Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nathan.
Nathan. So y'all understand that? This is something that we've learned this week, and I really hope that it, you know, helps somebody else out. It helped me out big time. You know, it's no matter how much you know, you can always grow even further and go higher.
Amen.
Deeper.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. And when we talk about generational wealth, teach your children how to. See, when they get taught how to serve God, you heard the word serve. When you serve God, that means you have a reward coming. Where you going to pick it up at? Teach them where they're going to get it from.
That's right.
And that's generational wealth, because when you teach them, surely they're going to teach theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much more wealthy you want to be. Huh? Because naturally wealthy people have problems. The natural wealth, you have problems. You got insurance. You got people that, you know, come to your stores and will slip and fall. You know, they lay down on the ground. Y'all done seen them on the store. They miss D. They go aisle four. They didn't crawl up, looking around, and they didn't feel us. You know, that's a problem. But when you store up your treasures in heaven, you don't have no problems.
Amen.
Who going to sue you? Who?
Over something you said. Not even falling, just over something you said, just because you got money.
I'm trying to. All right, so that's what it is, y'all. We didn't have any more callers, right, Miss Tiana?
We have one more, Mr. Carr.
Go ahead.
Hello. I was actually speaking to my son today about, he had asked me, he was like, if there's one thing you can tell me that, I guess, empower or enlighten my day, what would you tell me? And he said, make it scripture. And I was basically, what I told him was to learn his shape. And I broke it down to him, and I said, learn what it is that God has placed inside of you. There's nothing that's going to cost more. There's nothing that's going to seem better than being who you have been created to be. I was explaining to him, don't try to be, because he's into sports, but he's really not athletic. And so I was telling him that don't try to be that person, because he's a great speaker, though. And he's trying to be someone that he's not, because he sees his friends do these different things. So if I can give one word of advice, I would say try to learn who you are. Don't try to be like the next motivational speaker or the next person in this world. Just be the best you that you can be and learn what it is that God has in place inside of you. And I think that that'll just take you further than you can ever imagine. And that costs more than any amount of money, just being who God has created you to be.
Hey, that's a sermon right there in itself, y'all. Generational wealth. Be who God called you to be. Thank you so much for that. All right. And to close, Mr. DJ, real quickly, don't be super spiritual, don't be super in the world. This is what I mean by that. Because somebody gonna tell you, you know, they're gonna get slick with it. They're gonna say, I heard Mr. DJ, I heard Mr. Carr, I heard all of them. I learned, and you know what? I don't have to work because my wealth comes from God. See, that's a lazy person that don't want to do nothing. I have to work at all. But I understand what spiritual wealth is, and my spiritual wealth, don't worry about what I have on. I'm spiritual. Baby, hold on. Let me. Okay, it's still called balance. And what I mean by balance, I'm not saying that, you know, conform to the ways of the world. What I am saying is that when God gives you, okay, when God gives you, that's not saying that you have to wear true religion and Gucci and stuff like that. But when God, see, love is an action word. That means you will get up and move when you're capable.
That's right.
You will. Yeah. So don't let nobody tell you talking about, well, no, I ain't chasing money. Mr. Carr said, don't chase money. So I'm just going to sit here and pray and, you know, I'm going to do, no. Chasing money and working are two different things. You can still work and not chase money. You can still use your talents and not chase money. Because what's going to happen is it will start to chase you. And I'm going to tell y'all this. When you're using the talents of God, generational wealth, a lot of times you're going to go places where money can't buy you. I'm talking about, see, what happens is, I'm talking about places like heaven, what happened is things start opening up that money couldn't buy you. You know how many athletes get gifts that they didn't pay for? Because they're using their talents just because they're good, people want them to wear their clothes. If that's an athlete, look at you using the talent that God gave you. Because people know that you have that talent and you have other talents and you're doing your thing. People just want to be around you. You'll start getting stuff just because you represent God. Don't do it because of the gifts. Do it because of the God. All right? Generation Wealth, Mr. DJ, let's go ahead and close it, please.
Dear Father, we come to the close of this session. We want to say thank you, and we hope that something said would reach out to us and nourish us, our bodies and our minds and our souls. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. For those of us that are traveling, grant us traveling grace and mercy and bring us back together again on one accord to lift up your name. In your son Jesus' name, we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. And we're signing out from Mr. DJ way in Atlanta, Mr. Carr in Louisiana. Y'all have a great night and catch us on Wednesday for Bible study.
Good night.
Good night.